Welcome, brave listeners, to Wilhelm Presents Frightening Tales. It's finally time to share my collection of scary stories in Season 3. In my time away, I've been gathering 26 new stories to share with you this season, and I nearly have them all. There's still time to share your horrific epic at frighteningtales.com. This new season starts with a tale by the talented Clay McLeod Chapman. Oh, his new book, What Kind of Mother, will hit shelves this September. You can read his other books currently available, though. Ghost Eaters, Who Whispered Down the Lane, The Remaking, and Miss Corpus. Now, if sequential art is more your flavor, you can check out his work with Marvel Comics on the Carnage title, although he has dabbled with your favorite web-slinger. If reading isn't your thing, you can check out his writing on the Netflix show Wendell and Wild. Well, enough about him. Let's dive into his tale, Who Brings a Baby? Written by Clay McLeod Chapman. What kind of parent brings their baby to a horror movie? A 9 o'clock screening on a Monday night, no less. If you can't afford a sitter, then I'm sorry. You shouldn't shell out $15 for a flick. Put that money aside for this kid's therapy bills, which will no doubt be coming thanks to mom and dad dragging their child's diapered ass to some slash a rehash, ruining the movie for the rest of us. You remember when theaters used to be a sacred space, holy temples for celluloid. The point is to immerse yourself in the film-going experience. The world outside the Cineplex simply melts away as soon as the lights go down. You are now lost in that tenebrous cosmos. Your very soul elevating itself out of your body, drifting along with everyone else from the audience, and entering the vast expanse of the silver screen, as if the pearly gates just opened up to us all. We go for that cinematic rapture. But now, we have cell phones to contend with. Texting and blooping and bleeping all through the movie. Once, I was forced to listen to some preteen drama queen prattle on with her gal pal from the seat behind me, gossiping over the phone rather than watching the movie we all paid to see. That I paid to see. Why piss all over the film for the rest of us? I shouted over my shoulder so that everyone in the theater could hear. Why not just stay home, young lady? Netflix and chill out somewhere else. Do something, anything, other than step into my temple and blather on about whose boyfriend is cuter than whose during my cinematic sermon. Well, guess who received their own round of applause from the audience after sending that girl out of the auditorium in tears? Someone needs to protect this hallowed space from unruly customers. Someone needs to hold the line. The very integrity of the film-going experience is at stake. And if you won't risk your life to defend it, then what in God's name is the point of going to the movies anymore? But nothing, and I mean nothing, desecrates a film quite like listening to the four-alarm fire of some wailing baby overtake an entire auditorium. Sound carries differently in a theater. It doesn't matter where you sit. If your kid is bawling in the back row, we're all gonna hear it. Case in point. Tonight, less than 10 minutes into the film, I sense this sniveling infant from somewhere deep in the darkness. I can't pinpoint the exact location. The whimpering is coming from somewhere in the rear of the theater. It begins with a chainsaw sputter. Just a few tugs from the kid's lungs, like yanking back on the pull cord of a power tool. But once that wet engine gets revving, I know in my bones this little bastard is going to roar all through the movie. Where is it? I peer over my shoulder to try pinpointing this family. All I see are the silhouettes of heads. The theater is practically empty, save for a few scattered shadows. No bouncing baby bobbing along in the darkness, even if I can hear it. Am I the only one bothered by its staccato sobbing? It's only growing in volume now, gaining momentum with every clenched breath. At a certain point, just as a courtesy, you'd think that mom or dad might heft their newborn foghorn into the lobby. Just don't, you know, stay. Don't sit in your seat and act like nothing's happening. Nothing wrong here at all as your kid shrieks and shrieks and shrieks. Who's following the storyline anymore? I certainly can't. Is anyone paying attention to the movie? I could alert the manager and complain. But that pimple-faced excuse for a spine won't do more than stutter through some scripted excuse for a scolding. They never do a thing. I'll take matters into my own hands. I'll answer that baby with my own battle cry. Shh! I hiss over my shoulder. That should do it. Loud and clear. I am completely anonymous here. Mom and Dad will never know. It was me, sitting in the third row, second from the aisle, but they'll know that we, the people of this movie theater, have collectively spoken. But this baby, it won't stop bawling. Jesus, how big are this kid's lungs? The sound of its crying expands and contracts, eclipsing everything on screen. We've now entered a new phase of wailing. Short, glottal retorts that pepper the theater in these auditory depth charges. If this were a war movie, I'd imagine the crying was just another sound effect, but No. These sonic hand grenades are coming from behind me, blasting at my ears. Total surround sound. So, I do what any rational-minded moviegoer would do. I simply turn to the back of the theater and shout, "Some of us are trying to watch the movie!" That'll shut it up. Take that, Tyke. But this baby, now the crying is closer. Where the hell are they? It's as if the fam has moved forward a few rows just to mess with me. Toy with me. The blackened space compresses itself, so it now sounds like that caterwauling kid is sitting in the row right behind me, bawling just at my back, over my shoulder, at my neck. Something nicks my left ear. Just the slightest slice over the lobe. It stings. My shoulder springing up in a defensive reflex. There's a warm trickle dribbling down the length of my neck. I'm bleeding. How am I bleeding? Oh, this baby. Now the crying creeps into my right ear. There's a thin wriggle against the lobe, and I can't help but imagine a worm working its way through the canal. I turn in time to catch a passing glance at a pale, pudgy pinky finger reeling back into the darkness behind me. Now the crying comes from up front, in the aisle. The baby just won't stay still. I can't nail down the sound anymore. It's everywhere and nowhere all at once, circling around me, closing in. Something brushes against my right ankle, slicing through my sock. Both my legs pitch upwards as I scream, sending popcorn into the air. Other audience members hiss back, as if I'm the problem. But there's something strange about the timbre to it. It doesn't sound like a pissed off patron. They're mocking me. Somebody help! I shout, but no one answers. Searching the theater, I notice none of the silhouettes I'd spotted before are there anymore. Where did everyone go? Everyone else in the audience has disappeared, if they were even there at all. A very cold thought enters my mind. What if those shadows weren't actually people? What if I've got the whole theater to myself? I plunge into the row of folding seats. Old soda seeps through my pants. Or maybe it's blood. I've got a good view of the floor now, covered in candy wrappers and shriveled popcorn. I'm gonna wait for the baby. This time, I'll see it coming. This time, I'll be ready. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where? I hear the soft pads of its paws peeling off the sticky floor, all covered in coagulated cola. But I can't see it. Where is it? Where is it? Where?
The vaguest shape slips past me, an albino flash. Was that a rat? Are there mice in the movie theater? It's not too late to escape. I could just crawl into the aisle and run for the exit. Oh, where is it? Where? There! A pair of eyes glint in the dark, as gleaming as the silver screen. It's a baby, all right. Crawling on its hands and knees. Not like any newborn I'd ever laid eyes on before. I don't think this child has ever seen the sun in its entire life. Its skin is practically translucent, mottled in multicolored tumors. The cysts shimmer and the dim glow cast from the movie projector. Wait! Those aren't tumors. Those are jujubes. That gelatinous candy that always gets caught in your molars. Teens toss them at the screen to see if they'll stick. But this pustulating infant is covered in them. Rainbow-hued leper. There's a speckling of stale popcorn flecking its limbs. Nodules of kernels clustered across its shoulders like lopsided vertebrae all over its back. The baby's blistered lips. Do I still think this is a baby? Are they dusted in white nonpareils? Those are snow caps. And I can't help but think it's erupting in abscesses. Something slashes the backside of my hand. I cry out in pain and the crowd hisses, shh. But it's not coming from the audience. There is no audience. This is an imitation of a shush, a cruel mimicry of my own hiss getting echoed back at me. And it's coming from all around. Shh. Shh. There's another baby in the aisle now. And another. Their eyes are silver, as blinding as the screen itself. I count three of them. No. Make that four. Five. Each scabbed in candy from the concession stand. Swedish fish. Mike and Ike's and Junior Mints and Raisinets and Goobers and Skittles and Gobstoppers and M&M's. There was never just one. They're closing in on me now, slowly crawling across the floor on their hands and knees, each inch forward punctuated with the tacky peeling of their skin. And they're not crying anymore. Oh, God. They're giggling. Shh, 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 shh. This theater was never my temple. It was their hunting ground.
Thank you, brave listeners, for making it this far through another frightening tale. And a special thank you to Clay McLeod Chapman for allowing me to read his story. If Clay or any other writers would like me to perform another story, please submit them through frighteningtales.com. Oh, do tune in again next Friday, if you're brave enough.